This week, we're starting a whole new book, the book of Shmot. A whole new era is starting. Up until now, we saw the beginning and the creation of the world and the beginning of our nation and how the generations evolved. And now we're starting a whole new era and a whole new book. Last week we finished the book of Bereshit. We sealed one book. And this book is starting right away with the exile of Egypt. Right away. That's how the book of Shmot starts. And from here we're going to go now through a series of parashot. How they started the exile. How they got out of the exile. And this is where there's a very big turning point. And as usual, we're like starting with a short story. And there's a story that was a certain individual who had a very bad life. Very, very hard life. Good morning. Everything that can go wrong was wrong in his life. He lost his wife and lost his money and his kids were on the streets. And Bemet, a poor, poor guy. Everything that can go wrong in his life went wrong. And all his life was an episode after an episode after an episode of problems. So one time he had enough. He goes to the synagogue. He goes to the Ark, to the Aron Kodesh. Puts his head on the curtain and he starts praying to Hashem. He tells him, Hashem, please, I'm begging you, get me out of this mess. I can't take this anymore. My life is hard. Everything is falling apart. I don't have koach for this. And he's crying his heart. And he's crying and crying and talking to the Ark. Then as he finishes his prayer, he goes back. And you know, we don't walk, turn our back to the Holy Ark. So he walks backwards. And without noticing, he falls off the stair. There was an Ark, like, you know, with a few stairs going up to the Ark. He falls down and he falls these three stairs and he falls on the floor. He gets up and he tells Hashem, listen, Hashem, if you don't want to give me what I asked, I understand. Why are you pushing me? So, unfortunately in our lives, we find that we also struggle with the same thing. That we run into a lot of problems. This is not working out, that is not working out. I'm not going to start mentioning all the problems that Am Yisrael has, but each and every one of us has problems. And a lot of them. And sometimes they come in waves. And we do find ourselves praying to Hashem, help me, get me out of this. Come, like, I got the point. What do you want from me? And in some cases we see salvation, but in a lot of cases we also get pushed. That we can ask the question, okay, I understand Hashem, you don't want to give it to me, but why are you pushing me? Why are you pushing me? I understand you want to give me a hard time. Fine, but don't push me. And that's a very big question that we all have, and this is the question of this parasha. Because what is this parasha about? First of all, we're starting to talk about the exile. And right away, it's blaming, so to say, Paro. Okay? Because Paro says that he's not happy with the situation of the nation. And he's starting to cook the exile, which on the surface, one can say, okay, who's to blame here? Paro. But really, who was the first one that was talking about the exile? I mean, this exile was already predicted many parashot before. The first one that was already talking about that there's going to be an exile in Mitzrayim is Hashem. He told Amram Avinu, your offsprings are going to be in exile. So why are we blaming Paro? I mean, Paro is only the stick. But really, Hashem already, very openly, told Avram Avinu, your kids are going to be in exile. So first we want to understand, first of all we want to understand that it's not Paro that did the exile, it's Hashem that did the exile. But with that, there's a few questions that arouse. First of all, what's the point of the suffering? Okay, you want to send us to exile, but why suffering? Why are you pushing us? And more than that, what is the point of the actual exile? There has to be some type of a point. If you're already taking me to exile, then should be some type of a plan here. Hashem doesn't do anything for nothing. And the third thing is, why does Hashem send even suffering? Not even in Mitzrayim, even now. Why? I mean, you want to teach me a lesson? You want to punish me? Why does Hashem send suffering? If we put the truth on the table, because a lot of people say, no, Hashem loves everybody and everything is good, and it's just true. But the reality is that we're all suffering. So there has to be some type of a point, and there has to be some type of an explanation why Hashem sends me suffering. I mean, if Hashem is so good, then I want to know why the suffering. So the story starts that Paro sees a nation that's 200 years ago, asks for some green cards, and they get 70 green cards. And the family of Yaakov, they come to Paro, to Mitzrayim. And they're like, okay, no, 70 people, what's the big deal? How many can they be? We'll give them a few green cards, let them sit somewhere. They're not going to bother us. And here, about 200 years later, there's millions of them. And Paro sees, hey, we're going to have a problem here. We have a nation growing within our nation that if Chas v'Shalom, they go to war with us, we're kaput. They're becoming more than us. Now, if you make a quick calculation how many Jews were in Mitzrayim, it says that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, there were 600,000 men. So 600,000 men, if you make a rough calculation, should be about 600,000 women, give or take. And it's talking about from the age of 20. Now, if there's about 600,000 men and 600,000 women, and again, give or take, don't go on the number, and let's say, hypothetically, each family has three kids. That's an average family, although they probably had 30 kids, because we know they would produce many babies at one time. But let's be nice, and let's say they had three kids a family. So we're talking about 1.2 million parents, and 1.8 million kids, so we're talking about 3 million people that left Mitzrayim, give or take. Now we know that only 20% left Mitzrayim, right? So, because 80% died in the plague of darkness. So 80% will be another 12 million. So we're looking at around 15 million Jews, well, they weren't really Jews then, but Bnei Israel in Mitzrayim. That's a very rough estimate, a very rough number. So in the eyes of Paro, that was a problem. I mean, we have now here in Israel 1.5, 1.8, 1. Whatever Arabs, they're rapidly growing. They themselves said, we don't need guns. We don't need to fight you. Give us 10 years. We'll outnumber you. We don't need to fight you. So Baruch Hashem, there are a few very smart people that I heard not too long ago. A certain individual said, don't worry, we're also multiplying a lot. So if Chas v'Shalom, we have to wait a little bit more for Mashiach, give it another 5-10 years, the majority of Israel will be from. Because we're having 10 kids per family, and a secular family is having one or two. So the point is that even in our day of age, then we also have a nation within us that is growing and growing and growing. Unfortunately, we don't have a Paro who says, no, throw them to the Yor. We have the opposite of Paro who says, no, feed them, it's okay, let them come. But Paro was very scared that there's a nation growing and they're going to cause a problem. So he called all his advisors and he says, okay, what should we do? So he had three advisors. The first advisor was Eyov, Job. And Eyov said, I don't have anything to say. The second advisor was Yitro. And Yitro says, listen, I won't mess with them. Don't start with this nation. I would not mess with them. And the third advisor was Bilam. And Bilam said, yeah, okay. You want to get rid of them? I have an idea. Crush them. Take their hope away. Because when a person doesn't have hope, he cannot live. Take their hope away by putting them into slavery. They'll be tired and spiritually tired from the slavery, and they're not going to have any hope to continue. Needless to say, they're not going to procreate. And slowly, slowly, you'll kill them. Okay, so Paro listened to Bilam. And a year later, they're calling the interior minister, looking at the numbers. No, did we get rid of some? And they see that the numbers went more. More Jews now, even though that he put them through slavery, they still multiplied. So he says, okay, we have a problem here. This slavery is not working out so good for us. So they decided to put even more pressure on the slavery. And not only that, they enslaved them for 12, 14, 16 hours with extremely hard work. When they would come home, they would start driving them crazy. Cut my lawn, wash my dishes, do this, do that. Then they mixed all the jobs. They gave the females jobs for male and the male jobs for females, and they drove them insane. And then, of course, they put a lot of pressure on them. But the thing is, what it caused a problem. Because the second that they opposed this problem, the Jews actually, you know, it says, "Kechol she'anunu kenifots." The more that they tortured him, the more they sprung out, the more they raised. So Paro says, okay, what else can we do? So the advisors told him, you know, why don't you start killing their boys? If there's not going to be boys, then they're not going to be able to multiply. More than that, the sorcerers of Paro told him, listen, their Redeemer is about to come. Because we're looking at the history books, and their God told them that they're going to come down here, and they're going to be here for 400 years, and then they're going to have a Redeemer that will come to redeem them. So just prepare that there's going to be a Redeemer. So Paro says, okay, let's just kill all the men. Let's kill all the boys. That way, if the Redeemer is born, right away we kill him. So there's not going to be a Redeemer. Now he was afraid that the Redeemer might be from the Egyptian side, so all the boys were killed. Also the Egyptian boys were killed. Now this the Torah doesn't say. The Torah says that the Jewish boys were thrown to the river, but also the Egyptian boys, because they actually told him, his sorcerers, that he's going to be a Nar Mitzri, an Egyptian boy. They didn't know that later on Miriam is going to give it to the daughter of Paro. So they wanted to make sure all the options are covered. They killed all the boys, both for the Bnei Israel, both for the Egyptians. And that didn't solve the problem. It just made the problem worse, because what happened then? The leader of the generation, or at least one of the leaders of the generation, was an individual by the name of Amram. Amram is the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he right away saw the decree, so he went and he divorced his wife. He says, why should I bring kids to the world? What, for them to be murdered and right away be killed? I'm just going to divorce my wife and I'm not going to bring kids to the world. So since he was such a dominating figure, so everybody else started divorcing their wives, started giving them gets. And what it caused a wave of divorces. And that was even a bigger problem, because now also girls are not going to get born. And then one little girl, a five-year-old girl, saved the day. A girl by the name of Miriam. She goes to her father and she tells him, you are worse than Paro. What? She tells him, you are worse than Paro. Because Paro only decreed the boys. You did a decree for the girls too. And not only did you did a decree for the girls, you did a decree for all these neshamot for their Olam Haba. Who are you to decide who's to be killed, who to live? Maybe they're supposed to come here and die in Kiddush Hashem. How are you taking into your hands such responsibility? You are not only now putting a worse decree than Paro, then girls cannot be born. Now you're taking all these babies to their Olam Haba. Because who knows, maybe they have to come here for 3-4 months and down to Kiddush Hashem. And that's their tikkun. So of course, right away, he listened to his daughter. He went and married off again his wife, Yocheved. The Midrash explained that there were two guests that were dancing in the wedding, and that was Miriam and Aaron. A five-year-old and a three-year-old were dancing in the wedding. And that was the end of that. Now, after that, we have to understand one big thing. Because this is what started basically the main part of the exile. So we first have to understand, why did Hashem do the whole thing? What's the point? What's the point of this whole show? Because the whole point, what I want to take, when I read something from the parasha, I want to know how is that to do with me. Besides the story, besides the history, besides the mystical explanations, this is not our point of our Sunday class. Our Sunday class is, I want to know why the parasha is teaching me that, and what am I taking that to my own life. So, First of all, we have to understand that all the stories in the book of Bereshit, they all funnel for one thing, to bring the Jews to Mitzrayim. If you go all the way back, I'm not talking about for the first two, three parashiyot, let's say from the third parasha, from Lech Lecha. From Lech Lecha, it all is step after step after step, preparing the coming to Mitzrayim. First, Avraham Avinu had to go through his life, and then came Yitzchak, and then Yaakov, and then the whole story with the Shvatim and Yosef. And every parasha, it's one step closer going to Mitzrayim. So we already know that we took a whole book in the Torah preparing for the going down of Mitzrayim. Now we know that right from the beginning, there was already a promise to Avraham Avinu that the Jews are going to be in Mitzrayim. And there are a few reasons for that. But right from that time, it was at the time of Brit Ben Abtarim, that Avraham Avinu already was told by the Kadosh Baruch Hu, your kids, your offsprings are going to go to exile. Now you know the famous story when Yaakov was running away from Esav, Esav wanted to kill him, so Yaakov had to run away. Esav sent his son to catch him and to kill him. His name was Elipaz. So Elipaz comes and catches Yaakov, and he tells him, I'm sorry, my dear uncle, I got you, I got to cut your head off. So he tells him, listen, don't kill me. You know why you should not kill me? I'll tell you why. And he pulls out a contract signed by Avraham that was told by Hashem and says, we're going to Mitzrayim. It says, Bnei Israel are going to go to Mitzrayim. If you're going to kill me, who's going to be left from the sons of Abraham? You. You and your father. And you're going to go to Mitzrayim. So Elipaz says, oh, okay, go. Go. I don't want to go to Mitzrayim. Because in the contract, it's talking about that the offsprings of Avraham Avinu, who's the offspring of Avraham Avinu? Yitzchak. And then from Yitzchak, Esav and Yaakov. So Yaakov was very smart, and he says, no problem. You can kill me. Just know that you're going to go to Mitzrayim, you and your father. So right away, Elipaz says, no problem, go. Of course, we know the story. Yaakov gave him all his money because he wanted to be considered dead. A person that is poor is considered dead. But the promise was there a long time ago, and they all knew it. And they all knew that they're going to Mitzrayim. And this is another reason why Yosef was sold, because Yaakov would not want to go to Mitzrayim voluntarily. There's a story in the Gemara that says, how do you make a cow that you want the cow to plow the land and it's stubborn? It doesn't want to go. I mean, it doesn't always work. I don't know if you ever worked on a farm. You pull the cow, they don't always want to go. So there's a story in the Gemara that was a certain cow that was very tough and it didn't want to go and work to plow the land. So one time they took their calf, its calf, and they put it in the field. And the calf was crying. So the cow went to the field to see her calf, and then they put the muzzle on her and the whole system, and she started plowing. So the same idea, that's why Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim. Because Yaakov did not want to go to Mitzrayim. He refused to go to Mitzrayim. If you remember the story, that when Yaakov came out of the house of Laban, we read that a few weeks ago, that he came with a lot of cattle and he was very wealthy, and then he met Esav on the way. He was afraid Esav is going to kill him. And then we went through the whole story, how Esav and him made peace. And more than that, Esav invited him, come and live with me. And the story ended that they parted. And Esav was still afraid, so he ran away to Jordan, to Seir. And Yaakov went to Eretz Israel. And Yaakov says, that's it, I went already once on exile, I'm not going again. And Yaakov did not want to leave Canaan. So Yosef had to be taken. Why? Because Yosef had to be in Mitzrayim, like that little calf, that Yaakov will go after him to Mitzrayim. If Yosef would not be in Mitzrayim, Yaakov would never go to Mitzrayim. He would refuse completely to go. So the last three parashot, this whole opera, is to bring Yosef to Mitzrayim. Why? So when it's time, Yaakov will say, okay, I'm coming to my son. Because technically one would say, okay, I understand. Yosef was found, move back to Israel. Oh, have a long distance relationship. Why are you bringing Yaakov to Mitzrayim? So the whole point was a design. It was already a map from the Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring Bnei Israel to Mitzrayim. So it was already planned. And the Gemara is saying that the entire coming down to Egypt was for two reasons. One of them to punish Avraham Avinu, and one of them to punish the Shvatim, to punish the tribes. Now you're asking, to punish Avraham Avinu? What did Avraham Avinu do that he deserves a punishment? So in the covenant, in Brit Ben Abtarim, Avraham Avinu was told by the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to give you the land of Israel. So instead of saying, thank you, Avraham Avinu says, Bameda, however, am I going to know that you actually gave it to me? Hashem says, oh, Bameda, you're asking questions? I'll tell you how you're going to know. I'm going to send your kids to Mitzrayim. So that's what the Gemara says. The punishment for the Shvatim is because they sold Yosef. You know, that's a pretty severe thing. So they had to get punished for that act. And a certain commentary named Abarbanel gives a very interesting analogy, and he says, look at the similarity of what happened. Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim. Same thing, the Jews were sold, so to say, they were brought down to Mitzrayim. Bnei Israel, when I'm saying the Jews, I mean Bnei Israel, I don't want to keep saying Bnei Israel. The second thing, Yosef was sold to be a slave. Bnei Israel was sold to be slaves. So we see a certain pattern. Then Yosef was thrown into a pit. The boys were thrown into the Yeor, into the river. So the Barbanel takes it and he says everything that happened to Yosef repeated in Mitzrayim. So the source from the Gemara that says the going to Mitzrayim was a punishment for Avraham Avinu and for the Shvatim. So we have here one source that's saying it was a punishment. But Hashem doesn't work like that. Now, again, we want to understand why Hashem did this whole show. Why does Hashem put us through suffering and through exile? So, there's a story that the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, was a very big tzaddik, and once there was a certain individual that there was a very big problem. The story doesn't say exactly what was the problem, but there was obviously some big problem in his life, and he came to him and he started crying, help me, I need your help. Comes to the tzaddik, throws him out of the room, go out of here, kicks him out of the room. Person who had his last hope in the tzaddik gets kicked out of the room and he breaks in tears. He starts crying and he's on the floor and he's hopeless and he doesn't know what to do. The tzaddik already threw him out. As he's carrying himself out of the room, the brother of the Rebbe comes and tells him, what's going on? Why are you crying like that? So he told him, listen, I have serious problems, and I went to your brother, and he kicked me out of the room. So the brother walks into the room of the Rebbe, and he tells him, what? A Jew came to you for advice, and you kicked him out of your room? What kind of a behavior is that? You're supposed to be a Rebbe. You're a tzaddik. You kick a Jew out of the room, and he starts giving him tochecha. So the Rebbe says, okay, fine. Takes his jacket, puts his jacket, ties his gartel on, and tells him, okay, call him back in. He calls him back in, and he gives him all his blessings he needs. You should have success, you should have health, you should have this, you should have that. Gives him all the blessings he needed, and sends him off. And of course, the brother comes in again, and he says, I don't understand what you just did here. So the Rabbi Rashab tells him, when he came in the first time, he wasn't ready for the bracha. He came with too much layers of dirt, too much layers of ego, and selfness. He needed to be crushed. He needed to be crushed to have what's called a lev nishbar, a broken heart. He needed to cry. He needed to feel helpless, hopeless, and then he's ready for the bracha. So we see that the Kadosh Baruch Hu does a lot of things like this in many situations. Because when the Kadosh Baruch Hu is talking about Egypt to Avraham Avinu, he says that he's going to send your offsprings, your next generations, to something that is called Kur HaBarzel. That's the word that he's using. Kur HaBarzel is this big bucket that they pour in metal and they boil it to melt it. I don't know how it's called in English. melting pot?
Crucible.
Yes. So it's a very big, very big pot. It's not a pot, it's something huge, and they pour in it the metal, and they boil it in thousands of degrees, and they melt the metal. So the way Mitzrayim is described is Kura Barzel. Why? Because they had to go through something that is called Zikuch. Zikuch is to be purified. And that was the concept of Mitzrayim, that they had to go through some type of a purification to be completely crushed. And then, of course, we see later on, they came out of Mitzrayim and they got the Torah. But that was the main process of Mitzrayim. They had to go through this Zikuch, through this purification process. And unfortunately, some don't like hearing it, but unfortunately, the way to connect Hashem and a Jew is through sorrow, through pain. And that's unfortunate. I know a lot of people don't like hearing it, and a lot of people start like painting everything nice, and but the reality is that the knot that creates a connection between a Jew and God is through suffering and pain. And there's a reason for that. There's a mystical reason for that. There's a lot of reasons for that. But that's the truth. And unfortunately, again, a lot of people don't like hearing punishment and suffering and Hashem and exiles. But the reality is, if you're putting everything on the table, we are in exile for thousands of years. And we are suffering. And there's no one Jew in the world, and even a non-Jew. But right now we're concentrating on the Jews. But even the non-Jews, everybody goes through suffering. Later on, we're going to read in the parasha, not in this parasha, in a few more parashot, that when they needed oil for the menorah, the Torah says, "Vayikhu li shemen zayit zach katit lamaor." In order for me to create pure, pure olive oil, I need to take the oil, I need to take the olive, and I need to crush it. Katit lamaor. Katit means to crush. And then what happens? One drop of oil comes out. And that drop, the first drop that comes out of the olive, is the most purest olive oil. Later on, the rest of the oil that comes out of the olive, that's already, they use it for the dressing, for the salad. But the first drop that comes out, that's for the menorah. And it says, Shemen Zayit Zach, pure olive oil, katit, crushed, lamaor. Which means if I want to illuminate something, I need the most purest oil. And Am Yisrael is compared to olives, because an olive is a very tough fruit. And Am Yisraelis are very, very tough. Just walk here in the street, you get an example how tough they are. So in order for us for Hashem to squeeze out of us, so to say, the best out of us, we have to be crushed. And when we're crushed, that's when we're able to light up the world. So unfortunately, Hashem finds a way to connect to us through suffering. When I have money, do I thank Hashem every day? No, I'm busy with my money. And everything is going good, I'm not constantly aware of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, that's our nature. When things are going good, then we forget where we came from. We forget who gave it to us. And we're just indulging and enjoying the situation. Now, sometimes in our life, we have, every now and then, we have like a, if you're looking at the rhythm of life goes up and down, up and down. Like if you look at a monitor of a person who's in a hospital, that's a normal thing. One time you're up, one time you're down. That's the rhythm of life. But if you once follow the monitor, you will see that sometimes there's like a real big jump up, and sometimes there's also a big jump down. The jump up also in our life, we have here a wedding, here a bar mitzvah, here a simcha. There's something that pumps you up. And in a very weird way, these are the times that you really actually remember Hashem. You know, you make a wedding for your kid, pitom, money comes from here, money comes from that, this works out. You're like, wow, Hashem, unbelievable miracles. So here and there, Hashem does give a little pulse. But in most cases, when things are going good, then I'm not so in a rush to go to the shul. I'll pray at home. I'm busy now. I'm counting money. I'm on vacation. I'm on the top of the world. But when things are hard, I'm first in shul. Because I need here to knock on the Aron Kodesh. Please. Like a loser that goes to the casino. He's with all his faith, he's going into the casino. I need the right number. So, unfortunately, The Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly hides himself from us. And there's a story with the Magid from Mazrich. We celebrated a month ago his Yahr Zeit on Yotet Kislev. He was the main Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And there's a story that his son went out to play with the kids. And he comes back after a few hours and he's crying. And the Magid tells him, "What's wrong? Why are you crying?" So he says, "Listen, we went to play hide and seek with my friends. And I found such a good hiding place. And after 20 minutes, they gave up. And they stopped looking for me. And I was sitting there for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and they just gave up. They didn't want to look for me anymore. That's why I'm crying." So the Magid from Mazrich told him, "That's exactly what Hashem does. He hides himself for us so good. And then after a while, we just give up. We don't look for him." So imagine how Hashem is crying for us giving up and not looking for him. So the reality is that Hashem wants our attention, and one way or another, He gets it. And then again, unfortunately, and the next class, we're going to talk about why do I need to thank Hashem. I mean, the next class, we're talking about Tikkun HaMidot. The following class, I named it is saying thank you enough. Hashem doesn't need my thank you. And then Hashem doesn't need me to say 50 times a day, Baruch Hashem, or thank you Hashem. That's not thanking Hashem. But Hashem does want attention. And when He wants attention, He will get the attention. And unfortunately, the attention is getting by the lack of Hashem, and there's absence. There's a story with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that they asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, "Why did Hashem give the man every day? Let them give it. I mean, we know he obviously proved that on Friday he was able to give two portions, one for Friday, one for Shabbat. So give them once a month. Well, the whole show. Every day it's coming from Shammai, everybody have to go to the field and collect it. And why the whole show? Give it to them once a year. Give a box once a year. Everybody on Rosh Hashanah gets a box. That's it. Leave us alone." So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, "If you were a father and you would give your kids like an allowance or money, or you're a very good father, you're supporting them, if you would give them a check once a year, then how often will they call you? Once a year. Hi, how are you? I'm coming to get the check. But if you want them to call every day, so every day you give a little portion. So every day they come, hi, how are you? They sit for 5 minutes, drink a cup of coffee, and then they take care of their money." So the Kadosh Baruch Hu on purpose gave the man every day, so every day they can come out and collect it and say thank you Hashem and appreciate, and He would send them off. So really Hashem only wants our attention. So He hides Himself from us. He takes away our allowance. I always give the example when a father comes home. He walks in through the door. "Hello, I'm home." Doesn't hear anything. The kids are like that. "Hello," and they look up back to the screen. So he wants some attention. So he says, "I have a lollipop," and then they all run to the lollipop. "Hi, how are you?" A few kisses, they take the lollipop and they run off. So Hashem gives us also lollipops, but when we run off, then He takes the lollipop away. And try to take a lollipop from a two-year-old and you'll start seeing a dance. They invent dances and all sorts of songs. So Hashem takes away the lollipops. He says, "I need to take the lollipop away so I can get some attention." So the story boils down that we want to know why the suffering. I understand He wants my attention. Fine. There's other ways to get attention. And I understand that Hashem wants us to look for Him. Fine. That's all good. And it is something that I need to take from this parasha. That really Hashem wants attention. And my attention is by praying to Him, and by thanking Him, and by following His rules, and by advertising His greatness in doing Kiddush Hashem. Yes, I need to incorporate into my life that my daily agenda has to be thanking Hashem. And I don't have to say thank you, Hashem doesn't need that. By me going and praying, I'm thanking Him. By me now buying kosher food in the market, I'm thanking Him. By me sending my kids to yeshiva, anything that I do that Hashem tells me, it's in another way me thanking the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't need the word thank you. So the first thing I want to take from that is that I have to constantly acknowledge when it's good and when it's bad, that it's all coming from Hashem. And Hashem will test me. So every now and then He will give me a period that everything is good, to see how much I'm appreciating it, how much I'm thanking Him, how much I'm acknowledging the fact that the Kadosh Baruch Hu did it, and I'm not going and showing off, I did it, look how successful my idea was. So every now and then Hashem will throw me a moment of success to see if I'm going to get full of ego and be like, I did it, kochi ve'otzem yadi, or I'll be like, Baruch Hashem, unbelievable the miracles that Kadosh Baruch Hu do, and go and advertise the miracle. More than that, Hashem always will hide Himself from me. He wants me to look for Him. And looking for the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not opening the cabinets and looking for the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's looking in me, what is my purpose in this world? That's looking for the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We mentioned last week and on our Friday meal how each and every one of us has a special talent and a special gift, and I have to pull it out. That's the topic that we spoke about last week, and half of you were in our Shabbos table and heard it, that each and every one of us possesses a certain talent, a gift, something unique, and nobody else has it. And my point is to bring it out to the world and to reveal it. That's why Yaakov gave the blessing to each tribe, a total different blessing. Because we raised the question last week, if He's such a good father, why didn't He give all of them the same blessing? Why to give only Zvulun to be rich, and only Sachar to be a Talmid Chacham, and only from you that the kings will come out from him? Give everybody equal. Why should only Zvulun be rich? Let everybody be rich. So our sages teach us, no, Yaakov didn't give him even the bracha. The tzaddik doesn't give the bracha. The bracha comes from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The tzaddik is the channel through him the bracha can actually actualize. And if chas v'shalom there's some type of a clog on the way, then the tzaddik can untie the knot and make sure that the bracha will get there. But really the Kadosh Baruch Hu brings the bracha, not the tzaddik. It's a very fine line that people have to be very aware of. That the tzaddik is a channel, he's not the giver of the bracha. So Yaakov did not give them a bracha, rather he looked at each one and saw the potential, saw that the bracha that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave, and he just revealed it, he pulled it out to the surface. So each and every one of us has a unique talent, a trade, a gift, something. Doesn't matter who we are, who you are, where you came from, we're all different and we're all special. And in the eyes of Hashem, we're unique. So that uniqueness has to be pulled out. And we mentioned last week that the whole point is not only to pull it out, it's then to share it with everybody. So if my talent is wisdom, then I have to share the wisdom with other people. I cannot keep it for myself. And if my talent is art, then I have to teach the art and give the art and help people. I have to take what I have and give it out. And that's the point of looking for Hashem. It's not looking for Hashem. Is Hashem here? Where is Hashem? That's not the process. It's to look inside of me, what is this godly spark, this nitzotz eloki, this chelek eloka, that from the Kadosh Baruch Hu that it's in me that needs to be revealed. And that's looking for the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm not looking for the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I might be going around in circles and I think I'm very frum, which is very good, but I'm not digging deep down inside to say, Hashem, what is this precious diamond you gave and it's in me that has to be revealed and give to the world? That's looking for the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But more than that, the source that explained to us that Mitzrayim was a Kura Barzel, it has to be purified, is that the same story with the Rebbe Rashab. When the person came to him, he had a problem, but he came with ego. And he came with a lot of layers of dirt. And in order to get the bracha, he had to be broken. And that's really the point of suffering. That the Baal Shem Tov says that if you really want on Yom Kippur to be forgiven, then you have to come with a state that is called Lev Nishbar Venitke. That my heart is completely broken. And my tears are real. And these tears are going to make all my sins be forgiven on Yom Kippur. It's the tears. Why is that like that? That we don't have an answer. But Hashem finds the way in order for us to get closer to Him is to break us. So one might say, okay, I don't like this. I don't want to be part of this. I'm out. And people say that. People say, if this is the attitude of the Master of the Universe, I'm out. I don't need a God like that. And the reality is that everything in life that is good has to come with hard work. Everything. Nothing comes easy in this world. And if something comes easy, it will go easy. You want a lot of money, it has to come with a lot of hard work. You want to have fame, you want anything, you want wisdom, you can't go into yeshiva for 2 months. You want to know the Torah? You have to sit for 16 hours on a chair and learn for 10 years. It will not come like that. Anything you want. You want to be good in art, in music, in sports. Doesn't matter what you want to be good at, it has to come with a lot of hard work. So if I want to be a very good athlete, what, I'm just going to sit like this and eat donuts all day long and I'll be world champion? I have to work hard for hours and hours a day. Nobody comes and says, oh no, I don't like this, working hard and sweating too much. I want to be a champion without the sweat. So when it comes to anything else, we're willing to put a lot of hard work. When it comes to serving Hashem, no, I don't like the attitude. So the point is that's the nature of the world, that everything that I want to acquire, that at the end will be positive and good, has to come with a lot of hard work. Same thing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us the redemption. He wants to give us already the time of Yemot HaMashiach, and He wants to bring the ultimate Redeemer. But He says, okay, but you have to be crushed a little bit. You have to go through some type of suffering, because you need to be prepared. Because if I come with a little bit of yeshut, some type of selfness, or in our day we call it ego, then can't dwell together. You have to be what's called a kli ra'uy. In order for me to receive some type of a blessing, I need to be a worthy vessel. And in order for me to be a worthy vessel, the vessel has to be cleaned. And if it's not cleaned, then I cannot receive the bracha. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us a bracha, wants to give us a blessing, that I have to clean the vessel. Now, the main thing that I want to learn from that is that we constantly want Hashem's brachot. We want His blessing. Whether it's parnasa, whether it's to find our shiduch, my other half, whether it's to have kids, whether it's to go out of debt, whatever. All day long we need Hashem's help. Hashem says, listen, why are you going like that? Learn from the history. I want to give you a bracha. Just clean yourself. Just lezakech. Just purify yourself. So either you do it yourself or I'll do it. Very simple. If you don't want to do it, I have to do it. If I'm not going to come now to my kids and tell them, did you take a shower? They're not going to take a shower. That's the reality. Whoever has kids here knows what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the 15-year-old. I'm talking about 2-year-old to 10. If you don't tell them, go take a shower, they're not going to take a shower. So you have to come and tell them, did you take a shower? Yeah. When? Last week? When did you take the shower? So the same thing with Hashem. Hashem comes and tells us, did you clean yourself? No. Okay, so I have to schlep you. So what I want to take from that is that, first and most important, what we said, just to recap before, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is hiding from us. And the point is to find this chelek eloka, this godly spark within me, that belongs to the Kadosh Baruch Hu and has to be revealed and has to be shared with the world. Second of all, I have to constantly be aware that everything is happening from Hashem, and I have to work on this method of constantly having the awareness and thanking Hashem. And that's why the next class will be about what does it mean to thank Hashem. But really what I want to take from this parasha, because our points that we're learning the parasha on Sunday is that I can apply it for the rest of the week, is that I need to be cleaned. Whether I like it or not, whether I'm willing to admit it or not, I lie, and I say lashon hara, and I look at the wrong places, and I ignore this, and I don't do that, and I have a long list. I maybe have a very long beard and a very black suit, but I also have a very long list of things that here I don't want to do this I don't want to be machmir about, here I say this and I say that. And we're not going to start going in every little detail of what we do. But the reality is that we're not that great. Now, I'm not saying it in chas v'shalom a bad way. I'm not coming to chas v'shalom insult anybody or say anything wrong. I'm just coming to present the reality that we get dirty. We get dirty with our words. Just controlling our mouth, that's in itself a big task. And then our thoughts. and many other things. So the reality is, face it or not, admit it or not, we do get dirty. We cover our neshama with dirt. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no problem. Either you clean it or I clean it. It has to be cleaned. Your kli, your vessel has to be cleaned. Then it has to be done somehow. There's a concept in the teachings of Kabbalah. We went through it many different times. That there's a concept in the world, what is called a or, a light, a blessing. And there has to be a kli. Has to be a vessel to receive this blessing. And they have to be even. This is what's called Hashva'at HaTzurah. The shape has to be even to... The shape of the light has to be even and equal to the shape of the vessel. If not, if it's too much light, it will not go into the vessel. Too little light, too big, the vessel is too big, the light is not going to fit. That's what happened. We spoke about it Thursday in the Zohar class, what's called the Shvirat HaKelim. We explained that above the four worlds that we are familiar with, there's another world that is called Adam Kadmon, Olam HaNikudim, and from that came what's called Shvirat HaKelim, the breaking of the vessels, and we explained that the light was way too big for the vessel to hold it, and the vessel exploded and broke. So also in our life, if I need a certain bracha, the vessel has to fit perfect. I cannot get too much light in a small vessel. It's not going to fit. So my vessel, not only that it has to fit, it has to be cleaned. If I'm coming now with very expensive wine and I want to pour it in your cup and the cup is dirty, either you will remove the cup or I'm going to say, no, your cup is dirty. It's a waste because then you're going to throw out my wine. So I need to constantly clean myself. And cleaning myself is v'chomer bulvenim v'avodah kasha. That was the definition of the slavery. Chomer levenim avodah kasha. Chomer is material, so I have to break the materialism. Levenim is something that is a burden. Levena is a brick, something that is a burden. It means I have to. I understand that there's going to be burdens. But avodah kasha is hard work. Hard work is avodat Hashem. I'm not talking going out to your job for 10 hours. I'm talking about avodat Hashem. It's avodah kasha. Avodah is a job. But avodat Hashem is my service of Hashem. And serving Hashem is not easy. Every day the same thing and this and kosher and Shabbos and oi. It's avodah kasha. It's hard work. So this is the concept of the slavery, and this is the concept where the exile came from. Is that Hashem says, if you don't do it, I have to do it. But if you want to do it, no problem, you do it. And the way to do it is to take on myself, so to say, this slavery. So if I learn an hour a day, if I now start learning an hour and 5 minutes, I added more to my Avodat Hashem, that is considered that I'm kivyachol slaving myself harder. So if I'm holding myself in this level and how strict I am with kosher, and now I'm going one level higher, or whatever I do, I light candles 2 minutes before Shabbat, now I'm going to start lighting candles 4 minutes before Shabbat. Whatever I add to myself, it's harder. I'm adding more work, so to say. This is equivalent to this avodat parech. So basically Hashem is saying to me, in other words, if you want to not have this slavery, then you take it on yourself. You add on yourself. You make yourself more strict. You add on yourself more rules and chumras. You learn more, do more. That is equivalent to the slavery. And we learn it because Shevet Levi did not participate in the slavery. Shevet Levi would sit and listen and learn Torah. They weren't carrying bricks, and even though Bnei Israel weren't really carrying bricks, but they weren't part of the slavery. Why? Because they took on themselves the yoke of the Torah. So they say, okay, you're free from slavery. What I want to take from that is that the more I add to myself the yoke of the Torah, the more the yoke of the world is being removed. That's how it is. There's a Mishnah that even says that when a second is lehefer, is taking on himself the all of the world, the yoke of the world. It's actually the Mishnah goes, when a person is porek ol Torah, when he doesn't take on himself the yoke of the Torah, then the yoke of derech eretz, of the world, then that comes. And the more that I toil in the Torah, then my problems in the world get removed. So the point to take from that is the Kadosh Baruch Hu really just wants to purify us. And he wants to clean us. And the same exact story with the guy who went and knocked on the Aron Kodesh and prayed, and then he fell and asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, why are you pushing? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to clean us. It's not about the necessarily the process that I'm going. It's about the purification. And the point to take from that is that we do go through all these bad things. But when I know that the outcome is good, if I'm now going on a diet, and for 3 months I'm not eating no donuts and no ogerlach and no cakes and no nothing, that's suffering. That's suffering. Every time there's the cakes on the table, I want to put my hand and... That's suffering. But in my mind, I'm determined to lose weight. I want to lose weight. I need to get healthy. So I see the outcome, so it's easier for me to fight. I'm just giving one example out of many. But when I know the goal, then it's easier to fight. So when I'm having this suffering that coming from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have to understand the goal is I'm being cleansed right now. I'm being purified. I'm being prepared to a much higher level. That's why our sages say, "Kabelat ha'isurim be'ava," accept this, the hardship with love, because that's Hashem's way of washing us and cleaning us. And that's why we see now that right before the coming of Mashiach, the exile is becoming harder and harder and harder. Why? Because like Hashem is like a personal trainer. You can do it. One more day, you can do it. Push a little bit harder. Go a little bit more. Hashem is our personal trainer. And he just says, don't fall into despair. Just push more. One more day. You can take it. One more day. Now we don't understand. Now we're in the motion of crying. But when Mashiach is going to come very soon, David HaMelech gives us a promise. When he says, Shir HaMa'alot B'shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, when Hashem is going to come back to Zion, Hayinu Kecholmim, we were as dreamers. The exile is going to look like a dream. And the first action that will be is Az Yimaleh Shechok Pino. Then our mouth is going to be filled with smiles and laughter. Then we're going to be Baruch Hashem, thank you for squeezing us so much. Because we are these oil, these olives that need to be crushed to take the oil out. So in essence, everything is good. The exile is good. The exile is for us. The good news is that we're already at the end of the exile. It's really pushing another one more day, one more day. And the more we're being crushed now, the more our vessel is being purified, and I have to go through this process. I have to find Hashem within me. I have to understand why the point of the suffering, and I have to internalize it in my mind. I have to meditate every day and thanking the Kadosh Baruch Hu for everything that He does for me, and to understand that every day of this suffering, it's one day closer to the exile. And if I accept this yoke, then the exile will be shortened, because originally the exile in Mitzrayim was supposed to be 400 years and it was reduced to 210 years, almost in half. So the more we accept it with love and we don't whine or cry and complain to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, we need to complain and scream. We need to scream that we want the redemption, not to cry on our problems. I'm not telling you Chas V'Shalom to go into a passive mode and say, okay, let Hashem just torture us here. No, I'm not saying that it's all good. We want it to be done. We want it to be finished. We want the exile to finish and we want the suffering to finish. But that will take from us to thank Hashem, to reveal the uniqueness in us and to spread it around the world, which that in itself is just in itself is a big lesson. What I need to do to hasten the Gula and to end the suffering is to share my wealth with the world. Where the wealth is not money. The wealth is what I have to share with the world. Even if I don't have a piece of bread, I have something to share, I need to share it with the world. And not to keep it to myself. That was this power of me, that's what causes the ultimate klipa to surround the neshama that then needs to be broken. That's why the more that I feed my ego with my selfness, then the more I need to be crushed. Going back again to the story with the Rebbe Rashab, the person had to be crushed. That's why in order for us to be a worthy vessel, Hashem crushes us. Why? Because that's the only way. Because I'm losing my ego, my selfness. When I have a lot of money and success and fame and a good name and all this, then my ego is inflated. So the only way to crush it is with problems, and then Hashem makes me this big. And if I don't want it to happen by Hashem, The Ramban says, "Hashpel tatzmecha v'inasecha amakom." Make yourself small, and Hashem already is going to make you great. So the point is that I want to constantly share what I have with the world. This is called avat chinam. Love with no conditions. Doesn't matter who it is, who it's going to, what they said about me. It doesn't matter. The point is that we're all in the same place. We're all going to the same direction. We all want Mashiach. We all want it to come now. We're all sharing our problems. The point is, and the test here is to make sure that we know how to keep it united and how to share what I have with other people. So Bezrat Hashem, what we should apply this week, we have a lot of things to apply this week. What we want to take from this class is what I apply actual to my life. So we have a few things that we need to apply. Bezrat Hashem, if each and every one of us starts applying and working harder towards the goal, then all together we become one unit. And when we become one and united, that's when we can receive the ultimate bracha from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the coming of Mashiach. We see that this exile ended with the receiving of the Torah. It says, "Kamei tzitecha me'eretz Mitzrayim areinu niflaot." What we saw in Egypt is nothing compared to what we're going to see very soon when Mashiach is going to come. But it takes from us a lot of hard work. And we're almost at the end. We're literally at the last couple hundred meters of the race. It requires each and every one of us to take another deep breath and to really push to the pressure that we need to put and concentrating on these important things, on really revealing my uniqueness and spreading it out and sharing this unconditional love to any human being that is around me. And Bezrat Hashem, if we apply all that, we will merit to see the ultimate bracha very soon, the coming of Mashiach, in the same way that very soon in the parashot they get redeemed, very soon will be redeemed. Bezrat Hashem, it should happen very soon. Should have a beautiful, successful, wonderful, easy week. Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you in the next coming classes.